Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Ann.
And I'm Kendra, and you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. We are a radio show and podcast for couples that are struggling with infertility or miscarriage. That's how we got started. That was our journey.
That is our journey,
yeah. I should say. We are used to talking to people who are going through it on this show, right, Ann?
Yep, that's what we usually hear.
Yeah, and we talk a lot about amazing ways that God meets us in the valleys, mm-hmm. right? And there are some mountaintops along
for sure.
the way as well. But if you are going through those things, first of all, welcome. I know we just had a conference, the eWomen conference, that you and I got to have a booth at. We got to meet a lot of new people that said, I'm going to start listening. So if you're one of them, welcome. If you're a part of our unfortunate club that you've struggled with one of those things, we hate that.
That's what brought you here.
It's the club that nobody wants to be a part of, but we're glad you're here. We're glad you found us and can find community. But sometimes it's kind of nice to pause and just hear something else encouraging, right? When you're going through it, to be like, okay, there's more than just my pain in life, and I'm going to talk about something else.
Yeah.
That's the plan today, right?
So that's what we're going to do today. And I'm pretty excited about it because, honestly, we've had – I know of two people personally who have been like, hey, like, I have been so blessed by the show, but I had to take a break. Like, it was so hard to listen to sometimes because we do have amazing stories, but sometimes those amazing stories took years to get to, and there were some really, really sad things that happened along the way.
Right.
And so even as a host, it feels kind of like, man, what are we going to talk about today,
you know? Right.
Let me get my tissues ready.
Right.
And so even our producer, Mark, he's been like, ladies, like, I'm blessed to be part of this, but man, sometimes it's just hard. And so anyway, all of that to say, I'm excited about the show and our guest today. Her name is Kaylin King, and I'll tell you about the connection there in just a second. But she is on, she might tell us some hard things too. She doesn't necessarily have a story of infertility or miscarriage, but we all know we've been through different hard things. So, and I believe anyone deserves a platform to say when God has gotten you out of those valleys. And so even though her valleys might have looked different than ours, but she's going to come on today. She's calling in all the way from Texas. Kaylin, are you with us?
Yes. Hi, Ann. Hi, Kendra. Thank you so much for having me on.
It is an honor. It is an honor. Your family is precious. And we have, of course, met your husband. And for those of you that are longtime listeners, Phil
King
on our show and shared an amazing story that a song that tells a story of child loss and the babies that are in heaven. And of course, we played that song on our show and wept.
The song is called Miscarriages. And so it kind of speaks for itself what it is about. And then there was a song also, I think that we briefly mentioned it, but it's called Not Forgotten. And it's about the babies who have been, you know, aborted, that their lives might seem forgotten, but they're not.
And then, of course, that motivated us to invite him to come play worship for us at our conference that we had this year in January. That was our first ever, will be hopefully annual, Hannah's Heart Conference. We're going to have another one spring of 2027. Listeners, please check it out. It was the most precious, intimate time in God's throne room. And Kaylin, your husband was such a blessing, such a blessing, and just so sensitive to the Holy Spirit and to lead people. I can tell this was not his first rodeo of being used by the Lord to help people. So we're so thankful for your family and your ministry.
Well, we're so thankful to know you guys and, you know, just for your ministry. I know that it's touching so many people's lives.
So when you meet somebody amazing like Phil, you're like, okay, tell me about your family. So we go out, right, we're eating with him, and he starts telling us about his wife. And then all of a sudden,
he's mentioned all things good about you, but totally leaves out, like, well, she's like a supermodel, because I don't even know how we got there. Oh, I think we're like, let us see a picture. Can we see a picture of the twins and your wife? And I was like, oh my gosh, Phil, she's beautiful. And he was like, well, she is a supermodel. And I was like, oh.
No, but really a super, like, we're not saying, oh, she's just really beautiful. Like, you have a career in modeling, and the Lord has used you in a world that is filled with a lot of darkness and heaviness and probably needs a lot of Jesus. And
yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, and it's so interesting because you were mentioning in the first part of this program, you know, a lot of people walking through things that they never would think that they had to walk through with infertility and loss. And, you know, it's just so interesting because this is never, like, being a model was never my goal, my dream. You know, I meet a lot of girls that they're like, oh, I want to do that. I want to be, you know, a famous Instagram influencer and model. But that was never my dream. But God opened up such supernatural, amazing doors for me at a really young age. And so I've just been able to walk through a lot of doors that I really wasn't expecting. And my life has just been full of surprises. We just had twins 3 years ago, and that was such a shock. That was such a surprise. So it's just been a lot of amazing things, a lot of valleys, a lot of hard things. But, you know, when you're following God and surrendering your life to Him, it always looks different than you think it's going to look. Yeah. But somehow it turns out better than you could have ever asked for or imagined, like it says in Ephesians.
Well, I want to hear the story, but first, Anne, I want you to brag on her. Tell us some things about her career that you have read, because she's over here on, like, IMDb and, like, finding her all over the place. So, because Kaylin's too humble to brag on herself, will you tell us?
I don't think she's going to mention what all she's actually been involved in. Yeah. I might just get just a few things, but I'm pretty sure I saw the word, like, Maybelline in your bio, and NCIS, like, the show on the TV, and a Macy's, like, big names,
and
all
trying on clothing for
like Taylor Swift,
like, drop the name,
and like Kate Middleton, like the Kate Middleton,
the clothes, like, big designers.
Can you tell, like, we're just having fun over here that we can talk to you?
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, God, like I said, God's just opened up incredible doors, and you know, I feel like when He opens up doors, you just go through them and try to shine light wherever you go. There have been places and sets that I've been on that have been really, I don't want to say dark, but there's just been things that are there that are not compatible with, like, you know, Christian values. Yeah. But somehow He's, over the years, just sent me into all these places and opened these doors. And I've just said yes, and like you said, it's led me to do Maybelline commercials and, you know, all kinds of TV shows, and I did Project Runway, and
yeah, you won Project Runway. Like, that was the
major. That's crazy. We forgot to mention that one.
She won that.
Well, and the Lord tests you with the praise you receive. So the fact that you are giving Him all glory and honor just tells me that you have been tested through praise and are completely giving glory and honor to Him. But go back, because how did you get there? Start from the beginning. You said it was in your early years that you got pulled into some of this?
Yes. Well, I always did, like, theater and community, you know, plays. And I just always loved to sing and act and dance. And then when I was 14, I was 5'10". And really, like, a little pole. And everybody kept saying, you should model, you should model. And like I said, it wasn't really anything that I dreamed of, but I thought, well, I want to buy a car when I'm 16, and I've heard you can make some money modeling, so maybe I should just give it a shot. And so I started modeling in Texas, that's where I'm from, and just doing local things in Houston, Dallas area. And then I ended up, when I was 18, moving to New York and signing with an agency there.
Wow.
And yeah, I just, God opened up incredible doors. That's when I was 19, I got cast on Project Runway.
Wow.
And he just opened up doors from the very beginning. I told my dad when I was 18, my mom and dad wanted me to go to college. And I just said, I really feel like God's calling me to go move to New York. And I want to model and hopefully do some theater and stuff like that. And I said, can you just give me a chance? Can I just go for a little bit? And if I'm not making enough money, I'll come back and go to college. And right away, God just started opening all these doors. And I never ended up going to college. And I moved from New York to LA.
Wow.
3 or 4 years later. And then I was in New York and LA for about, 10, 12 years before I met Phil. And so, it's just been a giant adventure.
Okay, so the darkness is real in a world that's focused on beauty and only external. You knew the Lord before you got involved in modeling?
Yes. I grew up in a Christian home, and I've always loved Jesus, but my faith has so deepened because I feel like in some of these places, when I moved to New York, immediately I was met with, my agent was like, well, are you comfortable doing, certain things that I wasn't comfortable with? And I would have to say no. Mm. And they would say, well, why? And I'd have to really dig into, well, why do I believe what I believe? Mm. Am I really going to follow what God says in the Bible? Is that my ultimate truth? Or am I going to make these little compromises? Mm. And so very early on, I had to just make the decision, I want to be a girl that honors God and doesn't compromise. And so it definitely has cost me over the years. Mm. I've been dropped by agencies. I've lost jobs. I've turned down jobs. But God has also opened up doors in the midst of me turning down things that are even better and that are pure and that are honoring. And one of my favorite things in my career that I experienced was, I moved to LA and there's a lot of just swimsuit, it's right by the beach, swimsuit stuff, lingerie. And I was never really comfortable doing all that stuff. And so I turned down a lot of jobs and God ended up opening these doors with these designers, Monique Lhuillier, Marquesa, and they are bridal gown designers. And so I ended up going all over the world, to Paris, to London, New York, everywhere with these bridal designers. Wow. And I became known as like the bridal girl.
What?
And it's just so beautiful.
That's amazing.
Because God says that I'm the bride of Christ. Mm. As a church, we're the bride of Christ. And so I turned down a lot of these things that might've got me ahead, more in the world's eyes. But God preserved me and let me do so many jobs that were just in beautiful wedding dresses all the time. And so I'm just so grateful because when we try to honor him, he just opens doors that we never could have expected, but that make us shine for him and that we can appear pure because that's what he wants, is a pure bride.
Wow. Mm. Oh, that's so good.
Well, I'm sure it was probably tempting, at least, I don't know, I'm not being in that world, but like when you get dropped from an agency or when you have to say no to something that could feel very big, it might feel like, okay, maybe this isn't what I should be in because I'm not able to do, all these things that people are possibly, pressuring you to do. But then it sounds like you were able to see that the Lord always provided a different avenue for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it was just, I didn't walk it out perfectly, but I saw time and time and time again that when I would turn down something that was questionable or maybe compromising, he would immediately open up another door. And so I think after so many times of him doing that and so many times of, with acting and modeling, you don't have a set income. And so I had to really trust him for jobs and to provide, enough money every month for me to live in LA and New York. And I just saw him come through time and time and time again. So it really solidified my faith that God will always provide, and especially if he's called you into, you know, I know some of your listeners might be in industries or in workplaces where, you know, not everybody's a Christian.
Right.
I feel like when he calls you into those places, he really goes to bat for you and makes your life a living testimony for the people around you who don't know him. It's like he displays his goodness through his people. So, maybe that's an encouragement to someone that's listening.
Now, I saw, I don't know if you're still active in these things, but can you tell us about, I think it was called Runway with Jesus, or what is that that you were involved with?
Oh, Models for Christ.
Models for Christ. Okay.
Yes. And so that's an incredible organization. I got involved when I was 18 in New York, and then I ended up becoming a leader in Los Angeles. And it's a just like a Bible study group of people that meet all over the world, actually. They have them in Paris, Milan, New York, LA, Miami. And it's a community of believers that are in the industry, and it's photographers, models, actors, you know, makeup artists. And they meet and encourage each other. We worship and pray and study the Bible together. And so basically, we're modeling and acting tend to be kind of transient because you're going to different sets and going to different cities. Mm-hmm. And so the goal is wherever you go in the world, that there will be a community that you connect with and have fellowship with and worship Jesus together. And kind of go to also with the struggles and the interesting situations that sometimes you get to in the industry.
It's so encouraging to see that there are so many Christians that are willing to take light into the darkness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we're called to be the light of the world, that doesn't mean that all the light should just bunch together in one spot. Yes. God's like, no.
It says the light shines brighter in the darkness, right?
Exactly. And, you know, so many people, Christians, are guilty of seeing the entertainment industry, Hollywood, New York, LA, as Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, you just leave that alone.
Yeah, I've literally heard people say that they wish that California would fall off into the ocean and everybody there would die.
I know those people.
I know people that have said that. And you are speaking about individuals who are created in the image of God who are just lost like we were before we found Christ. There's nothing uniquely sinful about them. They're sinful like every sinner is. And yet, there are some people, the way you're treating it, you're Jonah who, well, you're the Jonah after he got out of the whale, who said, I'm going to go. I'm seeing it as Nineveh. This is Nineveh. And if I go and preach the gospel, maybe they will repent and turn to him and some will be saved. Is that how you view it?
That's so funny. Well, that's so funny because remember a few minutes ago I said when I felt like God called me to go to New York when I was 18, the story that I read that convicted my heart was the story of Jonah.
Oh, wow.
And I even told my father, I was like, Dad, I feel like it's Nineveh. I got to go.
Wow.
Like, I can't be disobedient and end up in the belly of a whale. So, it's like, you know, the Great Commission, we're to go and make disciples of all nations. Mm-hmm. Well,
you're just a missionary with heels on.
Yes. And that's why I love the name Models for Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you're literally modeling Jesus for some people. And it's just a unique sphere where not everybody gets access to or can go into.
Right.
And so I always felt like, okay, I'm just a missionary in a model's body, and I want to, you know, every day just putting on the armor of Christ and trying to be the best witness for Christ that I could be every day. And there's just been so many encouraging things over the years, just friends that I know and other models that I know that have come to know the Lord or who were so against Christianity and ended up, after several years of knowing them, like coming to church with me or coming to Models for Christ. Or one of my favorite stories was one time I was going for a callback for a soap opera, and I got in the elevator, and these two girls were also going up for the callback, and I got in the elevator, and one of the girls goes, oh my gosh, that is the most amazing perfume I've ever smelled. What are you wearing? And I was like, I actually don't wear perfume. And so And so anyway, I was able to share that verse with her about we're the fragrance of Christ.
Oh, no way. Wow.
Yes, like for those that are being saved. Mm-hmm. And so it's just amazing that God really does, you can smell, you can see the light. And especially in a dark place, it's even more evident. And so I just always want to encourage people that if God is calling you to go into an industry that is dark, that might seem intimidating, that there's not very many Christians in it. I mean, I think even about like science fields where mm-hmm. everyone's so logical, you know, but God sends Christians in there and we're all to be on mission no matter what industry or field he calls us in. Sure. And we are going to be that salt, that light, that fragrance to those who are ripe for being to be saved.
For those who are wondering, the scripture is 2 Corinthians 2:16. And I just want to read it because there's something interesting to talk about. So it says, to one, we are the fragrance from death to death. To the other, the fragrance from life to life. So it's talking about as mm-hmm. Christians, some of us, we smell like death to the world, and to some, we will smell like life. And so for those that are ready to accept God's call, you were that smell of life. You were literally bringing life into places of darkness. Now, I'm sure there were some that you smelled like death too because of their opposition to Christ.
Yeah.
I'm sure you had a lot of that. But I want to go back. You said that you became known as the bridal girl. Was this before or after you were married? Were you single while that season?
I actually thought most models stop modeling at like 25.
Yeah.
Well, so I kind of thought, oh, well, I'll stop and then I'll figure out the next thing. But God just kept opening up doors. And so when I was like 25, 26, that's when he started opening these bridal doors.
Wow.
And so I actually didn't get married until I was 30. So I would say probably from like maybe 25, 26 to 30, the majority of the work that I did was bridal.
Wow.
And so that was like what was paying my bills and sending me all over the world. And so, it's just incredible.
Did the Lord place marriage on your heart during that season? Like, were you desiring to be married?
Oh, yes. I mean, I've always desired to be married, and I had to wait a longer time than some women. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I remember trying on all the wedding dresses and just dreaming about, oh my goodness, what is mine going to look like someday? So it was a sweet little preparation of the Lord too.
How did he bring Phil into your life?
Well, that's a long
with only a few minutes left. I'm sorry. I threw that to you with like 3 minutes left in the show.
Oh, no. Well, the Cliff Notes version is I had a mentor in California who's just an amazing woman of God. Mm. And she met Phil when he was singing at an event in D.C. And she brought him to her house for a worship night. And we met that night and just were friends for a little bit. And then we ended up getting married. And now we're 5 years married, 2 kids, and, you know, so grateful.
Wow. And twins.
And
wow.
Twins.
Wow.
And they're so cute.
Such a surprise.
Well, and Kaylin, we haven't brought up this, but like you, so Phil's, you know, worship leader.
Yeah.
But you can sing beautifully too. Yeah. Like some of your music, I was like, oh my goodness, we need her to come too.
Oh, this is sweet.
But y'all,
I've always loved to sing too.
Well, you sound very, very pretty. And Phil just spoke so highly of you while he was here at the women's conference. He was only here, a day and a half?
Yeah.
I don't, you know, not terribly long at all. But he was just so nice to work with and just spoke so highly of you and just had fun talking about his sweetheart back home. And so I just, I was excited to get, as he was telling me about you, we my husband and I took him to coffee after the conference was over. And he was talking about you, and I was like, you think she would ever want to come on to the podcast? Mm-hmm. He was like, oh, you should definitely have her on. You should definitely have her on.
Oh, well, I'm honored that you guys reached out, and just so grateful, like I said, for your ministry, because so many people go through, you know, loss and waiting on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just important to encourage one another.
Mm-hmm.
In the waiting.
Do you have anything, just real short, but do you have anything you would say to a girl who maybe isn't married yet and she's really, really desiring a husband, but and feels like everyone else is getting married around her or having babies around her? Do you have anything you would say to her?
Yeah, one of my favorite verses is in Ecclesiastes 3, and it says, "He makes all things beautiful in his time." Mm-hmm. And that's not just some things beautiful. It's all things beautiful. And so just wait on his timing. Rejoice in the things that are right in front of you, because there's so many gifts and blessings if you look for them. And, you know, you think about all the things that you're grateful for that are right in front of you. Mm. And God is always faithful, and he's always on time.
Well, speaking of God's timing, we are almost out of time on Hannah's Heart. But I wanted to mention, because Anne, we got some texts this week from some of our listeners.
The best text.
One that has a miracle baby. She had secondary infertility, desperately wanted.
Had a miscarriage in between.
Just had another baby.
Just had her healthy baby.
And what was the other text?
And then we had a wonderful adoption that a good friend of ours involved in Hannah's Heart Hangouts, our local support group, she let us know, hey.
I got the call.
We got the call.
She got the baby.
The adoption's official. And so we just had to share those praises with such a fun episode. Yeah. And just to remind you, like, it's not always hard. There is a mountaintop that we do end up getting to.
Amen.
Thank you guys for listening to Hannah's Heart, and we'll see you back next week.